Du lytter til Supercomputing i Danmark, et program om forskning, teknologi, big data og supercomputere. Supercomputing i Danmark udgives af DAIC. Din vært hedder Iben Julie Schmidt.
Forskningen giver os hele tiden nye teknologier, men teknologien ændrer også måden, vi forsker på. Eksplosionen i digitale data og udviklingen af kraftige supercomputere til at analysere dem, åbner lige nu dørene til nye forskningsområder, opdagelser og erkendelser, både i naturvidenskab, samfundsvidenskab og humaniora. I denne her podcastserie kan du høre om de nyeste spændende forskningsprojekter og resultater, når vi inviterer dig med indenfor på Danmarks tre nationale anlæg for supercomputing og taler med de forskere, der bruger dem. Velkommen til Supercomputing i Danmark.
Forskning i dag bliver mere og mere beregningstung. Altså den spændende forskning i dag, den baserer sig på at analysere data, store datamængder. Det kan være for eksempel, nu ved vi, humanister er begyndt at skifte så meget med Facebook, Twitter og andre former for data. Det kan også være billeder. Vi ser, at forskningen går mere og mere hen imod at mere og mere dataintensiv. Og når den er mere dataintensiv, så bliver den også mere beregningskrævende typisk. Så det hænger typisk sammen. Og der er det sådan, at i mange tilfælde, der vil en laptop, altså en almindelig bærbar computer, vil ikke være nok. Enten har den ikke stor nok beregningskraft, eller er datamængden for stor til, at du kan have det liggende på din egen computer. Du bliver nødt til at have det liggende et eller andet sted centralt oppe i clouden, kan man sige. Så det er en helt nyt paradigme, vi er på vej ind i. Mit navn er Martin Zachariasen. Jeg er dekan ved naturvidenskab på SDU. Og jeg er sådan ansvarlig, kan man sige, for supercomputeren Abacus 2.0, som er en national facilitet, som kan bruges af danske forskere.
Og hvad var tankerne egentlig bag, da I valgte at etablere supercomputeren Abacus?
Ja, men det skete i forbindelse med, at man fik etableret det, der hedder DAIC. I den forbindelse så vil DAIC jo investere i infrastruktur i Danmark, specielt beregningskapacitet. Og i den forbindelse så gik Syddansk Universitet, Aarhus Universitet og Aalborg Universitet sammen om at foreslå at bygge en supercomputer. Og med at finansiere det delvis selv og delvis via nogle penge fra DAIC. Og det skete så her for godt 2 år siden, at den blev sådan set bygget og kom i drift for sådan 1,5 år siden med en udbygning, der så blev lavet her for et halvt års tid siden. Så det er faktisk noget nyt i Danmark, at man har lavet en national kapacitet inden for det område. Parallelt med den her installation, så har man også lavet en på DTU, der hedder Computer Room, som er målrettet life sciences, altså biovidenskaber. Så vores installation af vores, altså Abacus 2.0, er en mere klassisk supercomputer, det vi kalder high performance computer, som simpelthen består i, at man har et stort beregningsproblem, og så gør man det, at man har en masse små computer til rådighed. Computer, der svarer til dem, vi selv har på en laptop. Man har bare så mange af dem. Og så handler det om at få fordelt den her beregningsopgave ud på de her små computere. Og det er dybest set det, som de forskere, der bruger supercomputeren, de gør. De bliver så nødt til at lave nogle softwareprogrammer, der egner sig til den form for beregninger. Det er sådan en lidt krævende form for brug af computer. Og det er også noget, vi kæmper lidt med, at dem, der bruger computeren i dag, det er nogle af de klassiske brugere. Det er fysikere og kemikere, måske datalogere, matematikere, ingeniører, som har en karriere bag sig, hvor de har brugt computer i deres forskning i mere eller mindre grad. Og mange af dem har så opbygget noget software og nogle kompetencer over lang tid, har brugt mindre computer i løbet af deres karriere. Der har været supercomputere, det har altid været i Danmark. Der har typisk været de enkelte universiteter, eller nogle af universiteterne er gået sammen om at bygge noget. Der har aldrig tidligere været sådan en decideret, jeg vil sige, national kapacitet, som kan bruges af alle. Og det er sådan noget nyt, som er kommet med Dike, at man har lavet en den form for kapacitet.
My name is Claudio Pica. I am a professor MSO here at the University of Southern Denmark at the Department of Mathematics and Computer Science. I've been involved with Abacus as I'm the project leader of the HPC computing here at the University of Southern Denmark since its start in 2012, in fact. Abacus is a general purpose HPC machine. So this means that it is able to handle all kind of research problems coming from different areas of research, from physics, which is my own field, for example, to chemistry, to biology, to medicine, to engineering, and even the humanities and the social sciences are interested in using this machine now. The structure of Abacus is special in the sense that it is based on three different kind of computing units. So we have a basic kind of computing units that we call a slim node. We have about 450 of them. And this you have to think as a special server with a lot of computing power, but not so much memory or storage per se. Then we have a second kind of node that we call a fat node, and we have about 64 of them. And this is similar to the slim node, but it does have a lot of extra memory. And this is required for applications which are particularly data intensive, for example. Then we have a third kind of nodes, which is called a GPU node. This is still based on the same structure as the slim nodes, and we have 72 of these GPU nodes, but it is then equipped with two very powerful GPU accelerators. So these are the same, essentially the same graphics cards that, for example, you can find in your own PC, right, if you are a gamer. And these are particularly useful when you have very computing intensive applications. And this is the case in many areas of science, like when you do molecular dynamics, for example, when you want to study how new materials can be made, or when you want to study drug delivery problems, or also now that is very popular, another very popular application is deep learning, that has application throughout, again, the spectrum of big data sciences. So this special structure with this different kind of nodes is what makes Abacus so flexible. And this is why we have users from really all areas of research nowadays.
And the typical user, how do they use Abacus? Do they do they use it on a regular, everyday basis, or do they have special computing needs so that they kind of buy a special time slot and go in and do the calculation and go out again and come back some month later, or how does that work?
So the way that researchers can access the machine is quite flexible. So we allow for both big kind of projects, okay, for users that do require access to the machine every day. But we also have the options for occasional users to enter the machine at any time with smaller projects. For the big projects, we follow a regular schedule, which is based on a four period. So this means that every four periods, a big users group can enter the machine. For the smaller projects, this can be sent at any times. So the way that the researchers can get access is by sending a request for access. This is handled on here at SDU by an access committee following a procedure that essentially is first come, first served.
Okay.
It's also important to realize that access to the machine is in fact the same for all researchers in Denmark under the same conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So this means that a researchers from SDU, which is hosting the machine, is paying exactly as much as users from DTU or Copenhagen, for example.
Hvad for nogle erfaringer har I gjort jer indtil nu i forhold til, hvem er det, der er især interesseret, og hvad har de fået ud af det? Hvad har det betydet for dem at få adgang til Abacus?
Jamen, det har betydet meget, at der overhovedet er en mulighed for at lave den her form for beregninger. Det er hele den udfordring, man har, når man laver den slags forskning, hvor man har store beregninger. At jo mere kapacitet man har til rådighed, jo bedre beregninger og bedre forskning kan man lave.
Og jo hurtigere måske også, ikke?
Altså, ja, jo, det er klart. Altså, der er sådan en blanding af, altså man kan sige, det der typisk sker, at jo, hvis du får større kapacitet til rådighed, altså for eksempel flere små computer, man kan sige, så du har sådan set ikke altid noget imod at vente, om du skal vente en time eller to eller fem eller en hel døgn eller sådan noget. Det er sådan set ikke altid et problem i den verden, men du kan faktisk lave mere præcise beregninger. Det er det, der sker med, at de enkelte små computere bliver hurtigere, og du har flere af dem, så kan du lave modeller, der er mere præcise. Om det ser fysik eller kemi eller hvad det er, du modellerer, så giver det simpelthen mere præcise beregninger. Ligesom når man laver prognoser, vejrprognoser for eksempel. Der ved vi også, at DMI de bliver jo også bedre og bedre til at lave det, fordi de kan lave prognoserne mere præcist. Man kan sige, at du laver for eksempel en mindre tidsinddeling af tiden, eller du laver en mindre inddeling af det rum, eller hvad det er, du modellerer, og på den måde kan du simpelthen mere præcise forudsigelser. Og det er det samme, der gælder andre typer forskere, der bruger Abacus, at de kan lave nogle ting, de aldrig ville kunne tidligere.
Så det har I kunne mærke, altså, at det har gjort en forskel for de forskere, der er kommet på?
Ja, men de er meget glade for det, det er klart. At det er jo det er helt afgørende for dem at kunne klare sig i konkurrencen, kan man sige, internationalt, hvis du skal publicere inden for deres område, at du har adgang til beregningskraft. Fordi ellers, det har forskere i andre lande jo også, og det skal man bare være med.
My name is Guy Schörhaus. I'm associate professor at Department of Geosciences and Natural Resource Management, University of Copenhagen. We use Abacus to do studies on climate impact. So how does the change in the climate that we anticipate for the future affect, in our case, carbon storage in ecosystems, and particularly in high latitude ecosystems. So we have used Abacus then to study how this carbon storage occurs over a period of decades or centuries, or a century, as a result of different climate change scenarios.
And why does this kind of research need supercomputing?
The use of supercomputers makes it really beneficial, because we can run the normal type of simulation that I talk about would take maybe a couple of days on a normal computer, and for this research we use, say, at least several tens of different simulations. So you can imagine doing that on a normal computer makes that one really has the computer very, very occupied. Whereas if we can run that on a system like Abacus, we can run these simulations much easier and much faster, which also means that we can process the data much easier.
And how was the experience working with Abacus?
Oh, it has been very good. The system is very straightforward to use. Of course, I had experience with similar systems, which helps. But the system is easy to use, and there was good support for doing this work. One doesn't need to go to Odense to use the supercomputer. One sits in the office, one makes a connection to the system there, and you can do the normal work that you would do on your own computer. You can do that then from your office on the computer in Odense, and then once you have things ready to run, so to speak. So when we do these model simulations, there's a some sort of queuing system where you submit your tasks So and that the, that that queuing system then distributes the resources to all different users in the system, and when the work is done, one has the results and can look at them and analyze them further.
And what does this mean to your line of research to be able to scale up your research problems in this manner by using a supercomputer?
I think it's essential for my type of research and I mean the climate sciences in general. I mean climate sciences have been using supercomputers since 1970s and even before it originates from the modeling work that the climate sciences have been doing has been building very much on the numerical weather prediction that goes back even further in time, and without supercomputers we couldn't make the climate projections for the future that you find in the reports from for instance the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
In my research, we are one of those users that do need access to the machine on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. For me, this is really like my virtual laboratory. Right? So I need access to my lab every day so that we can do experiments, which are virtual experiments, to understand the physical system that we study. So my research is in theoretical high energy physics. So I study the behavior of subatomic particles. And to try to do these experiments, well, either you use a machine like the Large Hadron Collider at CERN that costs billions and billions of euros, or you use a supercomputer like Abacus and mm-hmm. you do a virtual experiment. And this is what we do with it.
Okay. So how does it work? Do you put in like your calculations or and go do other things and wait for the computer to spit out an answer, or how does that work? Or do you program it to, I mean,
well,
I know
we need to program it ourselves. We have our own numerical simulation codes.
Yeah.
And then you ask the computer to do the computations for yourself. These are very heavy and intense computation. Any realistic computation for what I do can take of the order of half a year or 1 year on the whole machine here.
Okay.
So this is very computationally heavy.
Yeah.
And this is not uncommon nowadays. Again,
no.
Big problems in chemistry, biophysics, and now also with the big data explosion from other sciences, that will become more and more common to require huge amount of computational power.
Yeah. So has the access to this computer changed your research, or how has it influenced the things that you're
think,
able to
I
do?
Think so, because this is really something that we need locally. This makes a huge difference from our everyday research. We also are users of big European infrastructures through PRAISE, mm-hmm. which I think is also very important to have. However, just access to PRAISE only is not enough. And this is not enough for many reasons, but I think the main one is that before accessing this machine, this huge machine at the European level, you really want to do some kind of more exploratory research. Mm. And this usually also means kind of smaller scale studies. And the only way to do this kind of research is using local machines, usually national machines like Abacus or Computer Room.
Mm, yeah, because it takes, I mean, you have to be granted access also for PRAISE, right? You have
that
to.
That is correct. It is a very, very competitive process. I've been involved as an evaluator in these applications, and you can see that there is really literally thousands of people applying all over Europe, and only a few percent of them are successful applications. Mm.
So you need your own supercomputer and able to kind of be allowed to have access on the really big European ones? Or
yes, this is also a formal requirement, in fact.
Okay.
So if you have to prove that your numerical code have already run on a smaller but still reasonably big machine like Abacus, and prove that your code can work well. Otherwise, you're not even considered to run on a Prez machine.
So today, is it possible for someone without a lot of coding or data management experience to use a supercomputer?
A supercomputer is always seen as something a bit for expert only, in a sense. But it is not necessarily the case. So we have many users, for example, also from social sciences, that they don't really have a lot of experience in high-performance computing or programming in general. Still, they can use Abacus through the use of some softwares that allows them to use it in an easy way. So the most common example on our machine, for example, is MATLAB. Other programs are based on, for example, Python, which are not very nice, also web-based notebook that can easily be run on Abacus without the users ever knowing it.
Okay. Yeah. So it's making it easier for new users to enter this world of supercomputing.
That's correct. Supercomputing is not just for an elite, in a sense. The general trend all over the world and all over Europe is that these machines will become necessary for almost everyone doing research. This is becoming very clear to all people that is whose research is based on the analysis of big data, for example. There is only so much analysis you can do using your own laptop or desktop computer. Beyond that, you need to use heavier infrastructures like Abacus. In a few years, we will have to design a new Abacus, a second version of the machine. My hope is that it would be possible to do so in a collaboration, national collaboration, like it was done now for the first version of Abacus. At the same time, my personal hope is also to that more funding for computing will become available at a national level. Mm-hmm. We see that this is really needed in all countries that have national computing facilities, and now this is true for all European countries.
Yeah.
In fact, at the moment, I think the level of funding for high-performance computing in Denmark is quite low, also compared to our neighbors, like the other Scandinavian countries, which are investing really like 10 times more than what Denmark is investing at the moment. I think we have proved that a national machine like Abacus or Computer Roam really lead to successful research. Mm. We have lots of users. We have hundreds of projects, hundreds and hundreds of users on Abacus as well. And good research is being produced on this machine. The real problem for our users at the moment is to find the necessary money to run on the machine.
Mm. Yeah. So, and that's about the financial model. I mean, how you buy and pay. Do you think that will change?
I hope so. At the moment, we are in a situation in which the machine has only been partially funded by national money and money coming directly from the universities. But the rest of the money should come from individual research group. This is a less than ideal situation, as it puts still another barrier to the use of these machines. And we see that many users group really have the need for such infrastructure, both here at SDU, but from our partners' universities like Aarhus and Aalborg. And as I said already, there were users from other, at least four Danish universities. And more users would be much happier to come here if they simply could apply for access to the machine instead of sending application for money that then they need to spend on the machine. I think this is how it works in all other countries with national infrastructure. And it would be also a more transparent way to use national resources if every researcher would be allowed to apply for computer time. So at that point, one could really have a competitive-based application process, which is a national process, and would guarantee, you know, the fairness of the usage of these machines.
Nu har vi en installation, som egentlig er pænt stor lige nu. Vi har den udfordring, at dem, der skal bruge den, skal i princippet betale for at bruge den. Og det gør så, at vi skal lige også vende os til den tankegang, der hedder, enten forskere eller deres institutioner, universiteterne, skal betale for at bruge en installation, i stedet for, at de bygger noget selv. Det er sådan et paradigmeskift, kan man sige. Det er skift, vi også ser i virksomheder i dag, at virksomheder efterhånden har jo, mange af dem har jo ikke computere stående nede i kælderen længere. De køber noget adgang til noget cloud hos Microsoft eller andre, eller Google, eller hvad vi er. Altså
vil de også kunne købe hos jer virksomheder?
Altså det ville de kunne, men det er til lidt mere specialiseret brug. Det vil være, at virksomheden har brug for en beregningskraft, som er så stor, at de ikke har den enten internt, eller de vurderer, at det er forskellige årsager ikke vil være hensigtsmæssigt at bruge kommercielle udbydere. Altså for eksempel Amazon eller andre, der udbyder beregningskraft. Det kan være, fordi det er måske sensitive data, eller faktisk, at vi er konkurrencedygtige, kan man sige, prismæssigt. Det er vi faktisk også. Så vi er i dialog med nogle store virksomheder. Jeg kan ikke fortælle detaljer om det, men der er flere, der har udtrykt interesse for at bruge computeren, fordi store virksomheder, selvom de er rigtig store, så er de ikke altid interesseret i at opbygge en kompetence inden for det her. Det er sådan ret specialiseret at have en supercomputer. Selvom de har pengene til det, så er det bare ikke deres kerneaktivitet. Og så er det den fordel ved at lave det sammen med universiteter, at de har jo masser af kompetence i at bruge den og kan lave alt det, vi kalder modelleringen og programmering, og vi kan også være konsulenter i forhold til virksomheden. Så det arbejder vi også intens med at få. Vi har nogle virksomheder ombord, vi har et eksempel på det. Og typisk, og det bedste eksempel, det er, når det er et forskningsprojekt, hvor virksomheden egentlig betaler både for noget forskning, altså en PhD-studerende eller andet, og samtidig betaler for noget computerkraft. Altså siger jeg, nu vil jeg også lave en beregning, og så betaler den samlede pakke. Det er jo en perfekt løsning for os. Så får vi også selv lave noget forskning.
Ja. Ja. Og hvordan, altså nu ved jeg, I hedder Abacus 2.0 lige nu. Hvad er planen? Kommer der en 3.0 version, eller?
Ja, det kommer der vel. Jeg ved så ikke, vi har ikke begyndt at planlægge helt endnu, men det skal vi snart til. Computeren har en levetid på omkring 4 år, og vi er sådan set godt inde i det andet år, så vi skal begynde at tænke over næste skridt. Det vi afventer lidt er, at DIKE, den her nationale samarbejde omkring infrastruktur, vi skal lave en mulig ændring af det setup, det vi kalder DIKE 2.0. Ja. Og det afventer vi lidt, hvordan det kommer til at se ud. Vi afventer lidt noget dialog med ministeriet og også med mellem universiteterne om at finde noget finansiering til det her, fordi det koster os, og vi skal være enige om på tværs af universiteterne om at gøre det. Men jeg synes, vi har vist nu, at vi er i stand til at samarbejde omkring det her, og at det giver rigtig god mening at bygge noget fællesskab.